Amen. Thank you, Miss Katie. What a beautiful but sadly true song. God's houses are full of people and comfortable air conditioners, padded chairs. And there's a lost world out there dying and going to hell. His harvest fields are truly empty. But his wheat is white upon the harvest. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and find your places in John chapter 19. I was turning to my Sunday school lesson. I don't think that would do much good. But I just want to thank God that I got a message this morning. I got a message this morning because I got a Savior that died on the cross for my sins. I got a message this morning because I was blood bought. I was washed white as snow because of a spotless lamb. I got a message this morning because He gave me His Word and put Himself in my heart. And I thank God for that. Thank God for that. We'll be looking at one verse this morning out of John chapter 19. It'll be verse 30. One simple verse this morning. Really a short message this morning. For those that are hungry, that should be a good thing. When we're Baptists, we're always hungry. But in the tradition of what I do, first off, for the visitors here this morning, we're glad to have you. My name is Brother Jacob. I am a lay preacher at High Plains Baptist Church. And glad to be called of God, I can tell you that. But I always like to start out with a question and a joke. We oftentimes take things too serious. God loves us. He wants us to be blessed. And blessings aren't a bad thing. But you look across faces this morning, you think blessings were bad. But can I tell you? Blessings are a good thing. We should be smiling and happy to be in God's house this morning. For your trivia this morning, it's a kindergarten type question. Pretty easy. Everybody's shaking their head no because they know better. What's the first color mentioned in the Bible? What is the first color mentioned in the Bible? Everybody's turning to. Well, I know where that's going to be at. In the beginning. What's that? Green is right. Messini got it. For the herbs were green. Very good. See, I told you it was easy. Tonight's going to be a little bit harder, though. After a very long and boring sermon, the parishioner filed out of the church saying nothing to the preacher. Towards the end of the line was a thoughtful person who always commented on the sermon. Pastor, today your sermon reminded me of the peace and love of God. The pastor was thrilled. He said, "No one has ever said anything like that about my preaching before. Can you tell me why?" Commented, "Well, it reminded me of the peace of God because it passed all understanding, and the love of God because it endured forever." Well, amen. The topic of the day's, or the title of today's message is comes from the Greek word, teleo, meaning it is finished. If you have your Bibles, let's stand as we read God's Word. John chapter 19 and verse 30. And the Word of God says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, 'It is finished.' And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost." Father God, we love You. Lord, there ain't nothing we can do this morning. To thank You. To thank You for saying it's finished. To thank You for dying on the cross for our sins. There's not one blessed thing that we can do. Father God, we love You. And we do thank You for all Your sacrifices. And Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house this morning that You provided. Lord, we thank You for Your written word. Lord, we thank You for those that are here. Father God, we ask that You would bless this time that You have given us. Lord, this is the day that You have made. Help us to rejoice and to be glad in it, but to learn what You have for us this morning. Lord, we pray for Your presence that You would come down from on high and just visit with us a little while. Be with Brother John and Miss Donna in the back as they teach Your children. Help them, Lord, to give it at a level that they understand that those children's hearts would be moved towards You. Lord, help me this morning Lord, to be able to speak clearly. I know I stutter and got a little southern twang. But Father God, help us. Lord, to hear what you have for us this morning. Not my words, Father God, for they're useless, but yours. Yours tear down mountains and build up strongholds. Help you, unworthy preacher, just for a little while. Bless the reading of your word into the hearts of the people. May you receive all the honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A very, very sad but warming and rejoicing comment our Savior made. Three little words in red and a bunch of black. A bunch of black that is surrounded by misery and suffering and pain. As he hung on an old rugged cross, doing the will of the Father. His last words that he uttered was, "It is finished." I want to tell you today, as you look at the words, though he never said that I am finished. He never said that he was finished. He never said that you were finished. By the grace of God, he says, "It is finished." He never quit. He never gave up and he never said no. He never made excuses for his walk. He never tried to hide it or to buck from it or to cast it upon anyone else. The 33 and a half years that he walked the face of the earth, he gladly carried it for you and I. I taught in my Sunday school class, I believe it was last week. I did a short message. I did two lessons in one. And I told them of a constant reminder for our Savior. You see, our Savior's earthly father was a carpenter. And as in Jewish tradition, whatever the father was, the son would become. So Christ, being subject unto his parents, as it says in Luke, he would learn his father's trade, the trade of a carpenter. He had a constant reminder every day. Every day that he picked up a board and he measured it out. Every day that he sawed a piece of wood to put it in place, he knew it was coming. Every day that he picked up a hammer and he handed it to his father along with a handful of nails and he heard. He knew that one day there would be a hammer for him. He knew that one day there would be a final nail that went through his hands and his feet. He had a constant reminder. But can I tell you, he loved each and every one of you this morning. That he didn't stop. He didn't give up and he didn't quit. Not until his final three words and he hollered and he yelled out, "It is finished." He didn't stop because he loved y'all. And I thank God he loved me. It's a couple quick points this morning of the finished work of Christ. I got six quick ones. I won't be long. The first one, of course, is the prophecy that we find in Genesis 3:15 was finished. "And I will put enmity between thee and woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This was God's words to Satan in the Garden of Eden. A fulfilled prophecy thousands of years before it even happened. God told the devil exactly what would happen. Can I tell you that day on the cross when he cried out, "It was finished"? That verse was finished. That day that he died and he gave up the ghost, he beat the devil and everything that he stood for. There was no more power that he had. There was no more control over the world. He was finished. The mortal blow that he suffered will one day finish him off. One day he shall be cast into the depths of hell no more. But can I tell you a wonderful thing? Yes, we know that the devil is still out there. The devil is still wreaking havoc. He's trying to get a hold of everybody and anybody that he can right now. But can I tell you, because of that death blow, there was a chain placed on that Satan. And every day and every passing year, that chain gets drawn in just a little bit more. Then the link starts to come in just a little bit more. The devil's getting less and less control of the world. And the closer that our Savior comes back, the shorter that chain gets. That chain is often, you know, I heard a story. I was listening to some preaching the other day. I think I was on my sixth sermon coming back from Albuquerque. And the preacher, he said, well, he's an old preacher up in the Appalachian Mountains. He was out soul winning. He'd pull up to your yard and first thing he would do is honk the horn. That way to make sure there wasn't no dogs there. Because you pull up in the yard, you honk the horn, the dogs come out running. Well, he said he pulled up to this house and he honked the horn. Nothing come running. He said, no dog. Well, he got out of his car and he went through the gate and the gate creaked. And the next thing you know, woof, 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 this big old pit bull comes out from nowhere. The preacher said he took off a hollering and running all the way to the house. And that dog was lipping at his heels, slobbering, coming down and everything. He barely got up on the front porch and the chain got him. You see, the devil's the same way. He's got a chain on him right now. He can't go but so far in each and every one of our lives. He can't even touch us unless we get into his circle. That dog couldn't get a hold of that preacher because he got out the way of the chain. That chain ran out of length. Well, the devil's chained today. And if he's biting at you, it's because you're too close to him. The rest of the story was the lady come out and said, well, he ain't going to bite you. I'm going to tell you, the devil will bite you any chance he gets. Just like that dog would. But can I tell you, he's finished and he knows it. Can I tell you, he's done today and he knows it. And can I tell you, you have power over him. And what power do you have? You have the power of God. And you have the power of his word. Only if you use it today, the devil can't touch you. He can't bother you. He can't mess with you. He no longer has anything that he can use against you unless you let him. Revelation 20 and 2, it says, and he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. What did he bind him with? That old chain, so he couldn't get out. That old chain, so he couldn't mess with you. For he's finished. Number 2, we find the final sacrifice for sin. We find the death and the cruel cross of our Savior in Psalms 22 and Isaiah 53. We find a death that was described thousands of years before it even happened. I want y'all to know this. This is a Roman's death. And the Roman Empire wasn't even alive then. It wasn't even come up. There's no even word back then for Roman. But yet the Bible describes it perfectly clear how our Savior would die. The Bible is true, I'm going to tell you this morning. Every bit of it. 1,000 years before, Psalms 22 told us of how he would be torn apart. Isaiah 53 tells of the stripes and how he was beat and how he was whooped for our transgressions and for the iniquities of our sins. How he was beat in the face of him, couldn't even be recognized for man. 1,200 years later, it happened. Every word of it happened. First John chapter 2 and 2 says, and he is appropriation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hebrews 9 and 12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Can I tell you, there is no more sacrifice these days. There is no more killing or shedding of blood. For he is the spotless Lamb of God that took it all upon him. He took every sin of man that ever lived and ever will live to Calvary that day. And his blood is still just as good as it was that day. His blood is still cleansing and washing away sins and making us white and whole. He is the finished sacrifice. He is the atonement for all sin. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Revelation 5:9 says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. For he was the only one that was worthy to go to the cross for each and every one of us. He was the only one that walked the face of the earth sinless. He was the only one that could do what he did. And he did it for us. Not for a Calvinist state that said it was a certain few, but he did it for the world, the Bible says. There is no other Lamb than our Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no work left to be done. There is nothing more to be said. For He said it all. It is finished. It is finished in the eyes of God. You cannot earn it. You cannot work for it. Your righteousness or filthy rags is nothing that you can do or I can do. It all had to be through Him and Him alone. The third thing is the separation from God is finished. Matthew 27:51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent to twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. The veil was an estimated 30 by 30 by 30 cloth. It had to be big enough to cover all the walls from one place to the other in the temple. So that nobody except the priest one time a year could go in and pay or make a sacrifice for all of Israel's sin. One person one time a year could talk to God like that. Can I tell you the day that Jesus Christ said it is finished? It ripped from the top to the bottom and opening it up so that you and I could go to the throne of God. And lay down our petitions that we could go to the throne of God and tell Him hi and thank you. And Lord, we love you. That we could go to God and say, praise God, thank you for everything that you've done. Lord, I need your help today. We don't have to send nobody in there to do it. We don't have to go before a priest and confess our sins. We go before God. Ain't nobody else we got to go through. It was finished. And so was that veil. The veil was done. Matthew. It's 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have Christ Jesus standing there beside God, delivering our petitions and fighting before us as a lawyer before a defendant. He stands there day and night, saying, that one's mine, I blood bought that one. That one's mine, he's covered for me. That one's mine, God. Don't touch him. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is no other. No other one can speak on our behalf. No other one can do what he did. No other one can talk to God but the Son, Jesus Christ. And he's ours. Because it was finished. We have complete access to God through the Son. Old days are gone away, and we can enter in into the throne of grace and of glory. Put it in layman's term or today's term for your kids, unlimited text and talk. God, you can go on at it. He's right there waiting for you. 4 is death's sting and the grave's victory is finished. 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Revelation 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. In the words of Christ, he says, and have the keys of hell and of death. That day when he cried, it was finished. That day when he stomped the devil's head. He took control of the grave and he took control of death. It took away the power of Satan. He no longer could do anything to touch the children of God. It was finished. There's no longer a fear. There's no longer a worry or concern for those that are saved today. For we know that we have a place in heaven. That death cannot touch us. There is no sting. There is no burden of it. That we can go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with no worry. For we do not fear those who can kill the body, but we fear the one that can kill the soul. Because Jesus Christ come back with the keys. They belong to Him. It is finished. 5. The finished word of God. Matthew 5:18 says, verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Revelation 22:18-19 says, for I testify unto men, that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. This book. Right here. He said, the words of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book, in this book. And verse 19 goes on to say, and if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away part of the book of life. Shall take away his part of the book of life. And out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Can I tell you that this book is perfect? These 66 books are complete. These 66 books are finished. The 33,000 and some odd verses are right. The 33,000 and some odd verses are true. They are correct. They are for each and every one of us today to read and to allow us to be exhorted into God, to understand Him. Can I tell you, the very written word of this book is His mind for His children. It's a revelation that He opened up for us to know who God is. He opened up, if you read this written by 40 some odd different people, so that we would know what God wanted from us. How that we should act. How that we should love. How that we should talk. How that we should walk. God told us everything. All we had to do is open up the black book and find it. Every jot matters. Every tittle is important. There wasn't a mistake. Can I tell you that these and thous, they make a difference. Can I tell you, if you take a verse out, you took a chunk of God's mind out. If I tell you that if you change a word here or change a word there, you told God He made a mistake. You told God He wasn't perfect. Can I tell you, our God's perfect. Can I tell you, our God didn't make a mistake. Can I tell you, our God has been right since day one and be right till the end of time. That book is perfect. Can I tell you, that book is the finished work of God. Yes, there's some things to come, we know. You read Revelations and Thessalonians and Zechariah. You know that there's things to come. And I can tell you by looking outside, they're coming soon. That book is perfect. When He closed it out in the end and He said, Amen. That was, Amen means we agreed. And God agreed that that was done. The book is perfect. There is none other like it. And number 6. Salvation is finished. John 14:6. We know this verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For there's no other way into heaven but Jesus Christ. There was no other spotless lamb but Jesus Christ. There was no other one that could defeat the devil but Jesus Christ. And there's no other one that could finish the book but Jesus Christ. There was no other one that could tell the story but Jesus Christ. And there's no other one that can get you to heaven but Jesus Christ. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. You can try works, you'll get tired and die. You can try to do your best, it's not enough. Try what you want. We can't do nothing. We never could. The sacrifices, even in the old days, that they would come in once a year and lay the blood on the altar and the mercy seat. Can I tell you, that was only a temporary cleaning. What was that? That was a repair job. That's all that was. It's just a repair job. Christ gives us a repentance. He gives us a restoration. He makes us new and holy and clean. He makes us right in the eyes of God that He doesn't see any sin because He's looking through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And all He sees is restored. There is no repair in repentance. Only restoration. John 3:15 says, "The whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him." Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever," John 4:14, "but whosoever drinketh the water," John 11:26 says, "and whosoever liveth and believeth." Christ did everything that He had to do. He started beside the right hand of the Father in heaven. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He started at the beginning of time. Let us make man in our own image. He was there. He came down from His throne, being God in the flesh. He walked the face of the earth. He was born of a woman like you and I. He went through the same trials, the same tribulations, same temptations, different results. He saw adversity in his life. He knew hardship. He prayed like you and I prayed. The Bible teaches us that he got up early in the morning and went and prayed in the garden. He prayed late at night as an example to each and every one of us. He talked to his Father and asked his Father for advice like we should. He showed us how to deal with people, how to go and to minister to them, how to give ourselves selflessly to others. He gave us examples on how to help those that are sick, how to help those that are hurting, showed us how to give us the coat off our own backs to somebody else. He taught us the truth. He showed us who the Father was and how He loved His children. He taught us how to pray. Pray ye after this manner, our Father which art in heaven. He taught us how to serve Him. He taught us how to walk a walk of God by His perfect example. He taught us how to follow and to be a servant, for He was the greatest servant the world has ever seen. He taught us how to love like no other, for there was love that held Him to the cross of Calvary. He did everything from Genesis 3:15 until the time that He cried out, "It is finished," like He should have. His pathway, which is what we talked about this morning in Sunday school, walk on the path that God has prepared for us. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ set that example for us? He came down for one purpose. That was Calvary's tree. He made it. He finished. He finished everything that He had to do for you and I, because we couldn't. He paid a sin debt that we could not afford. Cried out, "It is finished." The question today, though, lies in the hearts of the people of the world. God says that my Son did all of this. My Son did everything that I asked Him to do. He finished the work that I had for Him, so that salvation could be finished in you. The choice is yours. The choice has always been ours. Ever since He cried out, "It's finished," salvation has been a free gift, the Bible says, to all mankind. To everyone that is born, we're all born into sin, the Bible says. There's no exception. He finished it for you. He finished it for me. He finished for everyone that walks the face of the earth. He did His job so that you and I could be blood-bought. So that you and I could be saved. So that you and I could be restored to the holy and almighty God this morning. He finished the work that man ruined. Is it finished in your heart this morning? The way to get finished in your heart is ask Jesus Christ to come on in. To repent of your sins. And to acknowledge who He is. And He'll finish that salvation in you. And then once that salvation is finished, guess what? You're to start your walk for Christ. And until you get to heaven, or until the trumpet sounds and the eastern sky splits, you're not finished. There are souls to be saved. There are verses to be recited. There are songs to be sang. There are missionaries around the world to be supported. There's not seats to sit in. There's not a house to be comfortable in. You're not finished this morning. We still have a ways to go. Can I tell you that free gift that you got was free for your taking? But you need to give it back. Give it back to every person that you pass. Give it back to every person that you talk to. Give it back and tell them, "Hey, it was finished a long time ago, and there ain't nothing you got to do but say yes." Yes. How about you today? Are you saved? And if you are you sitting? Are you getting? Are you working? Christ did it all because He loved us. phileo. It is finished. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the day that you have blessed us with. We thank you for your many mercies and, Lord, your abundance of grace. Lord, I know for certain that you finished it in my heart, and I thank you for that. But Lord, if there be one here this morning that's lost and going to hell, I pray that one would come and get it settled today. Lord, I thank you that you did it all that day. Lord, that you fulfilled every prophecy. Lord, that you conquered everything. Lord, that you smit the old devil. I thank thee. Lord, this altar time is yours. Have your way and your will. In Christ's name I ask. Amen. How about you today? Are you saved? Has there been a time in your life that you cried out to God and asked for forgiveness? Asked for repentance? Do you know for sure where you spend eternity today? Life is but a vapor, the Bible says. Here today and gone tomorrow. Will you be in heaven or will you be in hell? The altar is open. Now is the time to come. You want somebody to take a Bible? Somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved today. How about this? Have you quit on God? God never said that you were finished. He said, it is finished. He never said that he was finished because his work needs to continue. It ain't done until the end of times. Oh, we can't be finished. We have work to do today. There's many at the altar praying this morning. Come. Come and tell God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the finished work of Calvary. It's all right. Nobody's looking up. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed this morning. How about you? I'd like to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to come to you. Nobody else will. Are you for sure this morning you're saved? If you have doubt this morning, I'd like to be prayed for, just slip your hand up and I'll pray for you. I won't come to you and I won't call your name. If you're lost this morning, just stick your hand up. If you're unsure, let me pray for you. Maybe you've just been out of fellowship with God. And you need to come back. He's always sitting there waiting for you. There's still some praying. Another verse, one more verse. There's still time. Don't leave the day without knowing for sure of your eternity. Well, amen. Certainly glad to have each and every one of you here this morning. Thank you for your visitors. If you did not get a visitor's package, we have some in the back. We'd like to get one of those in your hands, a little information about our church.